Investable Universe is about thematic topics in real assets investing. This is what we mean by the global market of things: real estate, infrastructure, land, energy, and other commodities that have historically been viewed as boring old income investments. But take a look at the shifts underway in these asset classes, from industry disruptors to new investors to emerging markets to geopolitics, and you'll find these assets are very interesting. We'll talk about private equity, venture capital, corporate VC, sovereign wealth funds, listed markets, crazy startups, some old guard investment firms, some maverick entrepreneurs, and some paradigm-shifting technologies. One thing is certain, no corner of the global market of things will be left untouched by the changes happening right now, and that's what we talk about on this podcast. So today we're going to talk about the emerging hydrogen energy economy. As the global economy transitions to renewable sources of energy and driven by applications in fuel cell batteries, in electric vehicles, and in rocket fuel, the market for hydrogen is expected to top $130 billion just in the U.S. by 2013 and could potentially create 700,000 plus jobs, according to some market estimates. Now, as with any energy source, you need infrastructure to store it, to transport it, and to deploy it. And that's an investable market in and of itself. My guest this week is Raghu Kalambi. He is CEO and CFO of PowerTap Hydrogen, an emerging company that partners with fueling networks to install hydrogen stations in the United States and Canada. Raghu is an experienced investor and entrepreneur in public and private markets, having raised over $1 billion of equity across a 25-year career. Raghu, thank you for joining Investable Universe today.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Awesome. So let's get started. This is going to be exciting because this is a bold new market that's opening up here. Can you tell us a little about the state of hydrogen energy uptake here in North America?
It's been a very interesting last year within the hydrogen space. Hydrogen as a fuel source has been around for many years, waiting for its day. We believe that day is now. What's happened very interestingly in the last 12 months is that some of the major OEMs, automakers, have announced hydrogen cars and also hydrogen long-haul trucks coming on the market. Historically, there have been hydrogen cars on the market. There's a car called the Toyota Mirai that's available in California. There's probably about 15,000 of those cars. Mm-hmm. It's a very small universe in California. Orange County, California, where I live, some of the buses run on hydrogen. So hydrogen has been around. It just has never had a major penetration moment. And it's our view that moment is now. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge in the industry is the chicken and egg challenge. The automakers and truck makers want to see more hydrogen fueling stations, and the fueling stations entrepreneurs like ourselves want to see more vehicles. And so we're bridging that gap at PowerTap Hydrogen Fueling Corp.
Absolutely. So you see this as a long-haul transportation fuel. Is that where it's going to make the biggest impact soonest? Or is this going to be like utility grid fuel? How do you see that working out?
Our view, and this is just a view of PowerTap, that the long-haul truck market is the biggest use case initially. There are other use cases in public transportation and in the consumer market. Mm-hmm. But there are tremendous advantages of hydrogen over diesel, which is the incumbent fuel, in terms of costs, savings, and also certainly in terms of the horrible carbon footprint that diesel does have globally as a fuel. Yeah. In addition, in the long-haul truck market, battery electric vehicles, the Tesla model, does not work in the long-haul market due to long recharging times that are needed with current battery technology, the weight of batteries that are needed and the size of batteries that are needed for long-haul trucks. And so while Tesla did announce Tesla Semi a few years ago, they haven't launched it, which would be a long-haul battery electric vehicle. And they actually just announced another delay due to shortage issues for raw materials for batteries that were needed. And so our view is that hydrogen is the fuel that has the most sustainability for the long-haul trucking market. And some of the large OEMs like Toyota, Daimler, Volvo, Hyundai have announced long-haul trucks to be commercialized. and they announced that in 2020. Nikola Motors went public trying to be Tesla for trucks. Whether they're successful or not is to be seen, but they certainly push the larger players to come into this market.
Now, just for those of us who are, you know, maybe novices or beginners in understanding this market, talk about how the production methods that are used, making in refining or, you know, producing hydrogen that's appropriate for fuel. There are different methods, I understand. There's, you know, electrolysis, there's SMR. How are they different? What's involved?
Absolutely. And so there's really three different ways that hydrogen would be dispensed at an individual site. Mm-hmm. One is the 70 or so stations that are operational right now in the United States. Most all of them use large SMRs, steam methane reformers, that are owned by companies like Air Products and Air Liquide, the chemical companies. Mm-hmm. And then they truck them to individual stations in large tanker trucks. And they have huge storage facilities, and then they have dispensers. Mm-hmm. That model just is not economically feasible for the long run. What we do at PowerTap is we make what's called blue hydrogen, mm-hmm. Using a small module SMR. That's okay. The IP that I'll talk about a bit later that we mm-hmm. have and the technology that we have. We can make hydrogen on site, which is very, very unique. And so our cost of producing hydrogen is significantly cheaper than the storage and delivery model that's incumbent. Green hydrogen, which is electrolysis, involves taking water and H2O and splitting it into hydrogen and oxygen using a lot of electricity.
Okay.
The challenge with that model, it's a geographic play right now, is the U.S. electricity grid is not green at this stage, not even close. Uh-huh. About 65% electricity right now in the U.S. comes from coal-based power plants. Uh-huh. And so it's not a green grid. And electricity is very expensive in many jurisdictions, certainly in California. So electrolysis or green hydrogen, it's great technology. It's just not right now practical within the U.S. market itself. And so our view is that blue hydrogen, which is what PowerTap makes, using small modular SMRs, on-site production, and an advanced carbon capture system, is the practical solution for the next 5-10 years within the United States.
So, you know, it's interesting that you bring up the use case the case for SMR in the U.S. versus electrolysis in Europe. Do you think more broadly that the debate around energy transition in North America versus Europe is shaping up fundamentally differently for reasons, some of the reasons you just described?
I think the U.S. is going to catch up with the Biden administration in place. They're rejoining the Paris Accord. I don't think there was much progress on the climate during the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. Europe is definitely ahead. More on from the point of view of the infrastructure for electricity, in terms of having more wind and solar. I do believe, and it's going to take a while, because they're well behind most of the major economies in Europe and some in Asia. But certainly the Biden administration will put a lot of incentives in place for all sorts of technology, including for hydrogen itself, that we believe will push the path of the United States catching up in terms of the other Western countries in terms of greener power infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the PowerTap SMR, your hydrogen infrastructure value proposition. Just how does it work? Just walk us through.
And so we make hydrogen on site. Mm-hmm. And our business model is to not build our own hydrogen stations, but mm-hmm. to partner with existing gas station and truck stop owners. That's for a few reasons. There's just by numbers, there's about 25,000 battery electric vehicle charging outlets in the U.S., but there's about 125,000 to 150,000 gas and truck stop owners. There's a big universe of existing stations. Because we have a smaller modular unit, mm-hmm. we can fit on existing stations. And so our model is to joint venture with existing gas station and truck stop owners mm-hmm. on a revenue share basis that allows us to move rapidly into prime locations. And a lot of the zoning for hydrogen is very similar to a gas station. So if we go on an existing gas station property, we we have a much quicker zoning process because a lot of the zoning has already been done for fuel. And so that's our model. It's a joint venture model, not building out. We end up owning our power tap stations, and we give a minority revenue share to our station partner. Our first station partner that we announced is the Andretti Group, led by Mario and Michael Andretti of auto racing fame. They own over 100 stations in the Western U.S. in California, Washington, and Oregon.
Wow.
They're also a distribution partner for us across the United States. Obviously, they're very well known to everyone, and they have relationships everywhere. Their stations are not only under their own brand. They do have Shell stations, Texaco, 76 stations that they own. And so they obviously bring those relationships with the major gas station and truck stop owners. And they can, it gives us an accelerated entry at a more senior level that we could get as a growing company.
Absolutely. So it's easy to see why and how this kind of technology would be attractive in a state like California. So, I mean, that seems like they're very, you know, ready to embrace these kinds of technologies. How valuable is California as a test case for other states?
It's very valuable. You know, California is the, you know, the largest state in the United States, fifth largest economy in the United States, and the leader within clean energy and certainly clean energy incentives. One of the big incentives that they have in California is they have a hydrogen infrastructure carbon credit. And then so when we install our stations, because I talked earlier about the chicken and egg, we could put a station up, but we're not exactly sure when all these vehicles are coming. We know they're coming, but it may not be tomorrow and maybe in 6 months or a year, we get a tradable carbon credit just for having the station available to the public that we can monetize. And carbon credits have built large companies, including namely Tesla. which has secured billions of dollars of carbon credits in their history. And frankly, they would not be in the S&P 500 today if it wasn't for carbon credits. If you take their Q3 2020 carbon credits and annualize them, is about $1.6 billion of annualized carbon credits and growing. And that goes basically straight to EBITDA or pre-tax income. And so that's allowed them to have their five quarters or so of profits that were needed for their recent entry into the S&P 500. So that's a common strategy for emerging clean energy companies like ourselves. We're hopeful with the Biden administration coming in that those types of incentives will extend to other states and at the federal level. There are other federal incentives that are in place when you go and sell hydrogen to help offset manufacturing and other costs. But certainly the California, which has set standards for installation, governance, they're definitely at the lead over other states in the United States. But we believe some of the other states will adopt some of the work that California has done in the last few years.
Absolutely. So, you're mentioning how amenable California is to this kind of technology for a number of reasons, incentives and existing infrastructure and maybe just a cultural receptiveness to it. But what could hydrogen energy do for a state like Texas, for example? Do you see an opportunity to make a pitch for hydrogen in the Texas utility grid?
Absolutely. The utility grid itself, there's lots of discussions around hydrogen pipelines and such in the long run. We view that as being, that's going to take a long time, and that's not something within our business plan. We believe that the long haul trucking market, which trucks everything in our homes one way or the other, whether we're buying at a brick and mortar or online in e-commerce, everything goes by trucks, and so our plan is to build our network out north from California to Oregon and Washington, where the Andretti's have other stations, and certainly east from California towards Texas, which are major trucking routes. We're confident that there'll be incentives put in place everywhere. It creates jobs, and some of the major oil companies that have whether the global players or the American players, a lot of them have major Texas operations or are headquartered in Texas. Mm-hmm. They're making global transitions towards clean energy. Mm-hmm. So especially because our raw material is renewable natural gas and natural gas, mm-hmm. which is very abundant in the United States and Canada, mm-hmm. And made a lot of the major oil companies are in there. We're not against the oil companies. We'll take their natural gas mixed with renewable natural gas and make mm-hmm. hydrogen. So it's a natural fit for the large energy companies and states like Texas also.
Absolutely. So can you see, can you offer like a timeline for when you could forecast or imagine being in that kind of eastward expansion?
Our publicly announced plans are to build out 500 stations over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's nationwide in the United States. And that would include geographies other than California. California mm-hmm. needs hundreds or even thousands, but to be a useful partner to the OEMs and more importantly to car owners and truck stop owners, uh-huh. we certainly need to have stations in other jurisdictions. We yeah. believe that will happen. The reality is the infrastructure credit in California allows us to put our early stations to get certain guaranteed cash flow. Mm-hmm. As the hydrogen market matures, there are other federal credits that will come in that gives us extra margin. So mm-hmm. the need for the infrastructure credit goes down as the market matures. And that, I think that's when you'll see us expand. That's separate than Texas or Arizona or Oregon, Washington, putting in other infrastructure type incentives that we hope to see over the next couple of years.
So in addition to your compelling business plan and value proposition, I understand that PowerTap has a very compelling intellectual property portfolio with more than 20 patents. Tell us about your IP and how you plan to leverage it as you scale.
Our IP is involved in a couple of different areas. One is the smaller scale SMR versus the industrial SMR. That's key. That allows us to be nimble and locate our stations and production, small production facilities at existing gas stations and truck stop owners. Mm-hmm. We also have some unique IP around not having to operate our SMR 24/7, like some of the other technologies. That allows mm-hmm. us to match demand better with production. And that also extends the life of our SMRs versus industrial SMRs. And makes maintenance better. Mm-hmm. There's other areas, but those are the main broad areas of the IP. The IP is United States, Canada, and international.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So let's talk a little about PowerTap's history. I mean, when did you start, and how long did it take you to bring this, to sort of usher this this unique technology to market? Was there a long regulatory process? What was that like?
Great question. And so PowerTap was actually, the IP was actually developed by a company called Nuvera that was launched almost 20 years ago by the old consulting firm Arthur Little. Mm-hmm. And with initial money of the U.S. Department of Energy, it was subsequently sold and had investment from many different parties. Hess Oil, the machine mm-hmm. oil company, owned the technology for a period of time, again, when hydrogen was in nowhere land.
Yeah.
Renault, the automaker, invested in this technology previously. And then it ended up in a forklift company called Hyster-Yale. And then we were fortunate to get introduced, and it was a non-core asset to them, and we ended up acquiring it last year. So we bought PowerTap, the company bought PowerTap, the IP, from an existing company. And our plan was to have a sole focus on commercializing hydrogen fueling technology. We're not obviously in the vehicle market. We're not mm-hmm. in the hydrogen fuel cell markets like mm-hmm. companies like Ballard Power or Plug Power that are other well-known NASDAQ names. Mm-hmm. We did get acquired by a Canadian public company called Clean Power Capital Corp, which trades in Canada, the U.S., and in Germany. And so we are a public company right now. We're a subsidiary of a public company. Mm-hmm. And so we have pretty ambitious plans to take this technology and deploy it. Right now, we've only announced the U.S. partnership, which is the largest market, of course, with Andretti. There are other international opportunities that are out there, and we continue to have discussions around them.
So you mentioned the Andretti's and your partnership with them. Can you say anything more about your current investors?
You know, we have a lot of family offices in there. This technology, again, historically had investors like Hess Oil and Arthur Little and Renault. Our shareholder base, we have some institutional investors. We're a public company, so we're not a VC. This was not VC backed. This technology was developed by strategics and the U.S. Department of Energy. But our shareholder base does include institutional level investors in Canada, some in the U.S., and certainly in Europe. Europe has been very receptive to the story because, from your previous question, that market is much more aware of the need of hydrogen. And some of those markets in Europe and Asia have made more national-type plans around hydrogen. And they do have things like hydrogen trains have been announced in some European markets. And so we're looking for the United States to catch up. And we believe they can in the next couple of years, also based on the case models of some other developing world or developed world countries in Europe.
So now let's talk a little about hydrogen infrastructure as an investment opportunity. Do you see PowerTap, for example, eventually functioning like a real estate investment trust or a cell tower or a data center where there's the entity pays out a regular dividend stream to investors that are based on rent flows? Or are investors really investing in the technology rollout itself?
You know, it's an interesting question. Because we have the predictable cash flow in terms of carbon credits in the short run, that allows us to, for shareholders, bring in very friendly government debt. The federal government has debt programs. There's a lot of green bonds, green loan programs in place. So I think initially, as this market is maturing, we can, for an early stage company, get some predictable cash flow via the carbon credit monetization. I think in the long run, as the market matures, certainly this becomes a bit of a utility play. We don't own the real estate, but we're firmly there. And then, the market can become a bit more, predictable, but we do have some predictability knowing that as we put up each station, we get a 7-figure, monetizable carbon credit. Now, again, that's initially in California, but we believe that'll expand to other jurisdictions.
Now, one final question, just going to tie things up. You mentioned that the most receptive market or maybe the ripest market for hydrogen energy is going to be long haul trucking. You also mentioned that we're at this kind of unique moment given the dislocations and disruptions of COVID over the past year, and people may be rethinking the urgency of sustainable, renewable energy sources, as well as a new presidential administration. So there's many factors sort of converging at this moment. As a result of all those things, what level of market penetration do you see for hydrogen energy technology by, let's say, year end?
I think by year end, there'll be some of the cars, more cars are coming on the market. We've heard that there's more Toyota Mirais being sold. BMW has announced a car and some other public transport municipalities have announced they're doing some transition to hydrogen. But from point of view of large penetration, our belief is it's going to be later in 2022 into 2023 when you see the mass rollout of long-haul vehicles happening. They've been announced. The OEMs are working on commercialization plans. Major brands like UPS and Anheuser-Busch have made various announcements around using hydrogen in their trucking fleets. And so we believe it's going to be there. I'm not sure how much we're going to have before the end of the year. Our plan is to have stations live in 2021, initially for cars, because there is a shortfall even for the automobile market. I do have a Toyota Mirai in California. And there's one station that's close to where I live in Orange County. And when I've gone to fill my vehicle up, there's a lineup of other Toyota Mirais. The Mirai looks like a Prius, Mm-hmm. And so people will get it confused, but they are out there in California and there's mm-hmm. a shortage. And mm-hmm. and so there'll be an immediate demand that's over there. But my view, at least it's my personal view, is that in, you know, later in 2022 into 2023 is when there'll be the major rollout of hydrogen vehicles. And we plan to be there with a large and growing station network to meet the demand for hydrogen fuel and refueling when those vehicles hit the market.
Excellent. So PowerTap, that's where you may be fueling your hydrogen-powered vehicle in the very near future. Raghu Kalambi, thank you for speaking with Investable Universe.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thanks a lot. That's all we got for Investable Universe this week. If you liked what you heard, share the link, check out the site at investableuniverse.com, or pitch us for future episodes. The address is editor@investableuniverse.com. My name is Rebecca Darst, and you'll hear more from me next time.